back to Beers and Buckets, the only podcast that we know of that discusses basketball and brews at the same time.
Only podcast. That's it.
I don't know. I've never listened to all the podcasts. I'm not caught up yet, but we're part of Variety Sports Network. Check them out on Twitter at @Variety_Sports_. I'm your host, Connor Caldwell. I'm joined by the Big Blue Demon Deacon himself, Dal Harmon. And for like the fourth or fifth time now, I think, we have Steven Rodriguez from the Talkin' Tech Pod. Steven, how the heck are you, man?
I'm good, man. I think I am the official correspondent for the Big 12 for the Beers and Buckets podcast, so I'll take
it. You don't ask anybody else, man. We get straight to you.
Happy to be here.
We do have, like, our. If I look at our following list, we might have more Texas Tech followers than we do Kentucky followers on our.
I know that first pod that we did, I mean, y'all just got, like, all the Tech fan base just, like, went to it because that was the first year of Adams when we went crazy. So they were, yeah, Tech fan base runs deep.
Yeah, that was nuts. Like the influx of followers we had, we were hoping to recreate that with other teams. It just never happened. So guns up, man. Guns up nation. You guys are crazy. So we are going to kind of keep this a tight episode because it is 10:30 Central as we record this for these two. So we aren't drinking any beer this morning because I think these guys have to work as well as I do. We are drinking.
I don't know if you, there we go. You can see it now. It's my, he's oh. here, he's there, he's every fucking where, Roy Kent mug.
Great mug. Fantastic mug. Yeah, I'm drinking a maple pumpkin iced coffee that I made, cold brew.
That's just a lot of buzzwords, Connor.
It is. It smelled so good at all the yesterday. I got it. Made some cold brew last night. I was like, woke up this morning. I'm like, let's go. But yeah, what are you drinking this morning, Steven?
You know, I had my coffee during the weekdays. It's normally just black. I just need it for fuel. I just, you know, play it safe. I got some HEB Taste of San Antonio coffee. That's my hometown. Gotta love it. So
there we go. So instead of beers and buckets, it's brews and buckets this morning. And
there you go. Perfect. Coffee.
Yeah, but we will have a beer review this week. It's just not this episode, so sorry guys. But let's give a rundown on the show. So, like our normal preview conference preview episodes, we're going to do Big 12 hot topics. We're going to talk team rankings. We're going to do our all conference teams and then their season superlatives. And if we have a little time there at the end, we do want to give a little love to Texas Tech and Steven's knowledge of the program and where it stands now. So we don't have to worry about that when it comes to the rankings. We'll give a little Texas Tech love later on in the episode. So let's start with the Big 12 hot topics. So, gentlemen, four new entries into the Big 12 this year. We've seen how it translates to football. Unfortunately for my Knights, but let's see how it translates to basketball. So Houston, Cincy, UCF, and BYU, will they compete or will they drag down the Big 12 as a whole?
Have any of them won a football game yet? Like an actual Big 12 football game against a legacy Big 12 game?
They're 0-8. They're 0-8 against legacy, and I think BYU is the only one that has a Big 12 win, but it was over Cincy.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
UCF got very close, very close. They played Kansas State pretty tough too, but yeah, no, none of them have a win over legacy Big 12 teams in football.
I think one of them will be in very much in like contention for winning the conference. The others will kind of be probably middle of the pack ish. Well, two of them will be. One of them is probably going to be the bottom.
Yeah. I mean, you got one instant bottom feeder, unfortunately, Connor, for you. It is the UCF Knights. Houston being the program and the team that they are currently, Kelvin Sampson leading the way, they're an instant contender matter what. And then, you know, BYU, Cincy, I guess we'll see. They're kind of in a weird state in both their programs. We've seen them be competitive in the past, you know, at times, but it's not like they're, you know, Big 12 level right now. So we'll see with those two.
Yeah, I will say there was a commitment over the weekend for UCF. I forget his name, but he was like, he's from Daytona area, 7'1" center. And I think like one of the highest ranked athletes for UCF, like they've ever gotten. And it was like, nobody even cared. nobody said a single thing about it. Like it made no news at all for UCF. Like they just don't care about football or basketball at all. They're just all in on football.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So I agree with you guys. I think Houston and Cincy will definitely have an impact on the Big 12 in basketball. Houston, especially, like they've been top of the best college basketball for the last like 4 or 5 years. BYU, I think, is a sneaky good team, and I hate saying sneaky good for a basically all white team, but here we are. But they're sneaky good team. Yeah.
real gym rats, those guys.
Yeah. So, UCF's going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel of the Big 12, but I don't think UCF will completely drag down the Big 12 like we've seen in other conferences. So, there's that. Okay, next hot topic we have. Rodney Terry, Jerome Tang, both in their second seasons with their respective programs. Is it sustained success or are they one-hit wonders? And you could do it for either. Like, you could have a case for either coach here. They don't have to be combined in your answer.
Yeah, I think Jerome Tang is awesome. I think he was always going to be awesome. It was a shame that he didn't have a head coaching job until last year. He spent all those years at Baylor learning under Scott Drew. Like, he's got that thing rolling, and he showed it last year. I mean, he had a completely different team that he brought in, and they made the, Elite Eight. It's unbelievable for him. I think he's going to be, as long as he's at Kansas State, they are going to be competitive. So I believe in Jerome Tang more than I believe in the Kansas State program. So, you know, from Rodney Terry's perspective, it's interesting with him because prior to taking over last year, he had a really, really meh coaching record as a head coach. He was at UTEP. I think he was at a few other schools prior to this. So, you know, we'll see with him. He's got the talent at Texas. They always have the talent. So we'll see. He did a fantastic job taking over from the shamed Chris Beard last year after his firing, which, you know, I'm not obviously horrible situation, but a terrible human being. It makes me feel better that he is no longer the Texas Tech head coach. But, you know, I think Rodney Terry, I unfortunately for me as a Texas hater, I hate that they have Rodney Terry because he's such a likable dude and he's such a good head coach, in my opinion. I don't know if he'll quite bring them to like top level, but, you know, we'll see with him.
Yeah, I feel like that he's one of those guys that's like the quarterback. He's like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy doesn't lose the 49ers games, but he also really probably doesn't win them games either. And I feel like that like the Texas program has so much money and so much like cachet around it that he might not be the guy that really like elevates them to be, you know, national championship level contenders. But I don't think that he's going to be someone that like messes up that program and kind of drops them like we've seen coaches at like Indiana or other universities do. So
it is funny though, because like you look at what Shaka Smart did in the last two seasons at Marquette and how he wasn't able to really replicate that for Texas. But then you have Rodney Terry, who we all agree is a decent coach. I don't think he's gonna, you know, coach a team to the, you know, Big East title coach, you know, but here we are. Rodney Terry's probably gonna have that program in better place than Shaka Smart could. But
I will say it's a lot easier to do it when you can pay the money above the table rather than underneath the table. And so that
NIL and transfer portal has definitely made a big difference, you know, across the board. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. All right. Grant McCaslin and Josh Alert. Reasonable expectations for their first years at their programs. And we'll obviously talk about Grant and more later, but just give me, you know, hot topic. Give me a few, like a minute or two response here.
Yeah, I'll speak quickly on Grant because we'll get to him in a second. But I think if you're Texas Tech and you're Grant McCaslin, you are trying to get the NCAA tournament, and that's about your highest hopes for year one. And I think that's fine. You know, it's going to take a little bit to build this program back to what it is. Unfortunately, Mark Adams really just did a number on it. You know, after from year one to year two, it was a complete 180. So he's going to have to rebuild that program a little bit. He got some good guys to stay. He's got a pretty talented transfer class coming in. So I think he's one of your the way that I look at Texas Tech this year is you just see like the biggest variation. They could finish top half of the conference or they could be a bottom feeder this year just based on the current roster and the talent. So they have the most variety. When it comes to Eilert, I mean, that guy, you talk about just a insane situation that happened at West Virginia with your Hall of Fame head coach getting kicked out of there due to a few different things, which was awful. All that situation was just terrible. So I think he's done a pretty nice job rebuilding from being given just handed a bunch of crap and trying to make a successful team, which I think they'll be all right. But it's just going to be weird because I don't think he's ever been a head coach before. I may be wrong there. So taking over a historically pretty solid program in West Virginia is going to be different. I think if you make the NCAA tournament with either of these guys, McCaslin or Eilert, I think you're thrilled.
I think Josh Eilert's success and the basketball team's success in general is about item 17 on the list of things that the West Virginia administration is worrying about right now. Weirdly, Neil Brown has done well and has probably saved his job this year.
Trust the climb.
Shout out Danville, Kentucky. he's from my hometown for context, Stephen. But
right on.
They have that to worry about. They have their whole just infrastructure of their university is just crumbling. So I don't think they really give a shit about how the basketball team does this year. Anything that he does, I think will go pretty well. It looks like that he was a player at Kansas State and then was a GA there and has been an assistant for 2 years. So yeah, he has never been a head coach anywhere. So very interesting to see how that goes. I think McCaslin's going to do pretty well. Like you said, they rebuilt pretty well. The issue for Texas Tech is just they did not do any favors to themselves in the non-conference schedule. A lot of even the bad games are teams that are in the 150s probably ranking wise rather than the 300s. So those can be some tough games. Plus San Jose State, Nova, Butler, Vandy, Sam Houston State, all those are top 100 level-ish teams.
You might not know the answer to this. How many of those were home and away series, in the second year of the contract kind of games? Or are they still are they mostly first-year contracts that Mark Adams probably signed last year or something?
I think they're mostly first year. Obviously we're in the battle for Atlantis, which was, in the works for a while. And that's where we're getting the majority of this from the non-conference. You're going to play three solid teams no matter what. I think Northern Iowa is the worst team in that kind of bracket there, and they're solid. So, Grant, I think, made a point to schedule a game in Dallas, and that was the, I think it's the Butler game. I could be wrong. Or Villanova. That's the Villanova game. Vandy. The other V team. So that was, I think that was all McCaslin, and then the Butler game, obviously. So he's wanted to beef up this non-conference schedule. He has a little bit of a different take on it than Adams and Beard did of just scheduling nobody and being 11-0 by the time you get to conference play because the Big 12 is hard enough. I actually like what McCaslin is doing by scheduling some tougher opponents, especially early on, to get this team, ready to play for the Big 12 because it's the toughest conference in college basketball.
Yeah. I always like that approach as well. When it comes to either football or basketball, I just when you have the opportunity, it doesn't really hurt you. You drop a non-conference game to a team that's higher than you, it's not going to hurt you. It only helps you. It hurts them if you end up beating them, the other team. So, I'm with you on that.
The only thing that I will say about it is if the goal is to make the tournament, if you fall short of that, obviously you'd still love to be able to get NIT experience with this team. And they might end up right on that line of above 500 where they might not be eligible. Cause if you're under 500, you're not eligible. So that's the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause for it, but I think they'll be fine and should finish above that. That's the only time that can come back to bite you is.
But to that point, if you can't beat these probably tournament teams, should you be playing these cupcakes so that you get in the tournament and then get crushed? You make the tournament, you make more money. You want that, but do you really deserve to be in the tournament? Kind of deal. All right, let's move. Or no, I have last. I can't believe I almost missed this question. This is my favorite one. Kansas. Who is the more evil duo, Emperor Palpatine and Darth Vader, or Bill Self and Hunter Dickinson?
Who? You go ahead, Dal, and then I'll respond.
Darth Vader has actual redeeming qualities and ended up coming back from the dark side. So I'm going to go with Emperor Palpatine is less evil and that Bill Self and Hunter Dickinson is more evil. Because I can't think of a single redeeming quality that either of them have.
You can't. Especially with everything that just transpired with Artario Morris. I mean, that started with our guy Chris Beard
going to Bill Self. In the first place?
Awful. I mean, it's the type of person he is. The type of person he's been for, you know, he doesn't care. As long as he brings in talented weapons, he does not care who these people are that play for him. So, Bill Self. Go ahead.
Even like person, like who he is aside, Artario Morris and all the allegations, they have so many guards. Why did we need to get another guard? Even from just a strictly basketball perspective, it made no sense to recruit him. Then you add on all of the like personal stuff. I don't know. It makes no sense to me at all.
Well, and it almost seems like they took, if you look at the way they handled the situation, they didn't need to recruit him in the first place. He already had red flags around him in this conference, but they went ahead and took him. So they put this young man in the situation to be stupid. He ended up doing the stupid thing and, you know, like the maliciously stupid thing. And then, and now they're like, oh, well, he's suspended when they got the allegations, and then they end up, you know, dismissing him from the program, right? Look at what Memphis is doing with Mikey Williams. You know, like he shot at a car, like with five people in it. Shot at a car. They still haven't even dismissed him from the program. This kid's probably going to get manslaughter charges or like something along those lines. He's going to be in jail for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Like this is a serious felony. And they still haven't dismissed him from the program. So people are like, Memphis should handle it the way Kansas handled, you know, Artario Morris. Like, no, because Kansas should have never had Artario Morris to begin with. And this young girl.
Texas shouldn't have had Artario Morris. These allegations were before he even came into Texas. So the whole situation, it's awful, obviously, for everybody involved. But yeah, I mean, you know, Bill Self, and then you add on top Hunter Dickinson, who's more of just a dick and not I mean, he's not a felon, so I guess that's okay. But he's probably the most hated guy in college basketball by a good margin. So yeah, it's an evil combo.
I will go on the record saying, because he was considering Kentucky, I said I will openly root against Hunter Dickinson at the end of at Kentucky. Like I was him, I made him, the meme and everything, like the stepbrother.
Him and Graham Mertz. I was anti-Big Ten. No Big Ten people coming to Kentucky because everyone at Kentucky
Graham Mertz
was
looking better than Graham Mertz right now. That's all I gotta say.
No, he's not. Do not say that.
Anyways, I even made the like the stepbrothers TikTok, like I'm not calling him dad, like I'm not calling him mom. Yeah, look at me wrong. I punched him square in his face. Hunter Dickinson's the worst. The way he teased that whole commitment thing and got people to subscribe to his podcast. Like I was just like, I do not want part of this clown show, and I'm so glad that he ended up not coming to Kentucky, but he went to It's like if you watch Ted Lasso, we're all talking about Ted Lasso. It's like Nate going to Wrexham.
That would be a hell of a crossover.
It would be like Nate going to West Ham. That's what it ended up being. Like you had this guy going there. So yeah. All right, let's not waste any more time debating Ted Lasso and Darth Vader and let's get into team ranking. So like if you haven't listened to an episode before, we'll go. Steven will take his first pick. And then Dow will take his second or his first pick and then second pick and we'll snake it. So then Steven will take two and three and go on and so forth. So with your first pick in the Big 12, Steven, who you have number one in the Big 12 this year?
Speaking of the evil, I have Kansas at number one. And it's because, they are Kansas. They are terrible people, but they know how to win basketball games. And it's tried and true. They have a stranglehold on this conference. There's a lot of, I mean, you could pick a lot of different teams and I would agree, but no, for to play it safe and with the talent on this roster returning, coming in, I got to put Kansas at one.
Dal, who do you have at one? Or who do we have at one? You can speak for me as well in this.
Kansas, it's stupid. I hate him, but it has to be.
Yeah, there's... You're returning so much. I mean, yeah.
They've done it the past, like, decade, even with worse teams. So, you know.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Who do you have at two then, Del?
Two, we have a team that we went to see a game of in person last year, and it's not the UCF Knights.
I was about to say, you could just pull a fast one on me and go crazy with UCF at number two.
I might be considering it.
Nah, we have Houston second. I mean, it's the Big 12, so they could finish seventh and still be a great team. But they obviously lose a lot, especially Sasser and Jairus Walker, but they get a couple good transfers in. I think they have a couple guys that are really
LJ kind of Cryer, like, and Damian Dunn. Both are ballers. Like,
and not fair. And I think they have a couple guys that were on that team last year that are due for some big, like, upticks in role, especially Terrence Arsenault. So they're two. Plus, Colin Sampson's just dope.
Yeah. Yeah, I also had Houston at two. I just believe in Kelvin Sampson so much. I think that dude is a fantastic head coach. And yeah, like you said, LJ Cryer, Jamal Shedd, that's a heck of a backcourt. I know they did lose a lot, but what's going to be the difference is the bench. If they get what Kelvin Sampson is telling us with Arsenault and Damian Dunn and those guys, you know, taking kind of that next step, they're going to be good. They're constantly, I mean, even when they were AAC, they non-conference stuff and NCAA tournament says enough for them. They know how to play good teams. Night in and night out, it's going to be a change for them. But yeah, I got Houston being very, very competitive in this league.
One thing to keep in mind with them, though, they might struggle with some size as well. Outside of Jacob McFarland, who they're bringing in at 6'11". One guy, redshirt freshman at 6'9". Other than that, 6'8", 6'7", is their biggest teams. So rebounding and like paint defense is going to be something that they
– I have Baylor. I have Baylor at three. I have Scott Drew, you know, contending to run the great program that he does. He's a phenomenal head coach. Ray J. Dennis is going to be an instant impact guy. Jacoby Walter being a five-star product. Langston Love, I mean, that guy was a five-star coming in pre-ACL tear. And then obviously, you know, they brought in Keontae George and all those guys. So he was kind of in a weird position last season, but he's going to be really solid for him. Jalen Bridges shows signs. And they have, you know, JTT, who's been at Baylor for probably his ninth year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been there since I think he played against Perry Ellis.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas at Tool Time.
Yeah, really. No, and then they have some talented young guys. Miro Little are phenomenal, like, talents. So we'll see. I really think Baylor's going to be back on it this year with this squad.
Yeah,
we had Baylor at four. Team we talked about earlier, Texas at three. A lot of it, again, like I said, it was earlier, it was just the talent, I think, there is still really good. They obviously lose a decent amount. Serge Ibaria-Rice, Timmy Allen,
Marcus Carr
gone. But they get Max Asemus from Oral Roberts, who should be essentially a better version of Marcus Carr, just an electric scoring guard.
Yeah.
Tyrese Hunter still there. Dylan Mitchell, the cat killer, Dylan Disu.
Ethiel Horton.
That somehow always had monster
Ethiel
games.
Ethiel Horton from UCF was actually, like, low key one of their, like, their third best player last year for UCF, which had, blanking on the name, Taylor Hendricks, you know, like, was obviously the best player on UCF last year. But, you know, Ethiel Horton was right there. So,
yeah. They should be pretty deep. They also, well, outside of, I guess, Asemus and Hunter, who are both 6 foot, they are height supremacists as well, which is always going to be something that I...
Yeah, I mean, I just switched Baylor to UT. I had UT at four.
We had them at three and Baylor at four.
All right, so Steven, you had Texas at four. Who do you have as your fifth pick?
My fifth pick, I have Kansas State. Like I said earlier, Jerome Tang is that dude as a head coach, and he brought in Tyler Perry. He brought in the guy from Creighton, Kaluma. So they just have they have the roster to do it, and they have the coach to do it. And so that's why I have them at 5.
Interesting. I went through and actually am surprised that I'm going to end up being higher on them, but I have Texas Tech at 5.
Okay.
And K-State at 6.
My man.
Yeah. Not even really like actually playing a ton to the guest here either. I like Joe Toussaint. They brought in from West Virginia. Added a couple guys from Arizona State. They obviously lose a ton from the roster. Obviously, they have a new coach, but just think they're going to be one of the more deep teams and have a couple seniors that'll be coming off the bench. And a lot of guys they brought in are upperclassmen as well. Pop Isaacs should be an absolute stud in year two. So having them there, and then K-State, for all the reasons you mentioned, have them at 6. Like we said earlier, you can be the 7th best team in this conference and still be really, really good. So yeah, that's kind of where I landed. Who did you have at 6?
Yeah, I actually had Texas Tech here. So, I mean, we're just kind of switching back and forth on a few of these. But, yeah, I like this team. I like this team a lot, especially because of the transfers. The two Arizona State guys, Cambridge and Warren Washington, are going to be instant impact players. And especially defensively, those guys are beasts. The more I watch them, the more excited I get for them. You mentioned Pop Isaacs. He's a knockdown. I mean, we were thrilled with how Pop played last year. Lamar Washington is one of those guys that is just a grinder. I mean, plays defense, does all the little stuff that makes your team go. Darion Williams might be the most underrated transfer in the country, to be quite honest with you. Out of Nevada, straight up great 3-point shooter from the corner, whatever. Led Nevada in rebounding at 6'6" last year, which was very impressive. Plays a little like
Kyle. Just a classic Texas Tech player to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's kind of slow in his play, but he's just does the right thing all the time. Excited for Joe Toussaint. I don't know if he's going to start on this team. I don't know if he's coming off the bench, but regardless, he is a point guard. He's a facilitator, and we needed one of those, to leave room for Pop to come off screens and stuff like that to shoot the three. But yeah, a couple of guys that underperformed last year, Damarian Williams, Kerwin Walton. We'll see how those guys play, but I think Kyron Lindsey's going to be a nice addition. He transferred mid-year last year from Georgia, and so he'll actually be able to play this year. Chance McMillan's another guy. So, a lot of unknown, but I think this team could be very, very good.
The reason I like Texas Tech over Kansas State, I worry about Kansas State shooting way more than I worry about Texas Tech shooting.
Yeah.
Kansas State has a lot of great players, but Kaluma's a 31%-ish 3-point shooter. That was one of the things that when he was rumored to be going to Kentucky that a lot of people were pushing back on, is that he's not a great shooter, not a great floor spacer. You got to hope that one of your other two forwards, like David Ngessen, hopefully he can space the floor for them a little bit. Tyler Perry should be a great shooter, even though he's 5'11". Granted, I'm not going to talk shit about small Kansas State shooters because that didn't go well for us last year. But I think outside of him, they don't have a single plus shooter that I really see on the roster. So
how did
worry about their offense a little bit.
How did Grant McCaslin not get Tyler Perry from UNT?
From what I understand, it was really like he loves Pop. He loves Pop Isaacs, and he wants Pop to be that guy. And to kind of put more faith in that, he purposefully didn't really go in on Tyler Perry as much as these other teams did. I think Tyler Perry is going to be fantastic. I'm not trying to say, we don't need Tyler Perry. Like, we could have absolutely used Tyler Perry. But I think he just has so much faith in who Pop Isaacs is as a point guard that he wanted him. So,
yeah. That makes sense. I'm just curious because I feel like when you make that switch over to a new team, you feel like if the player is entering the transfer portal, they're probably following their coach. So just funny how they end up going to the same conference, just almost just different team. Yeah.
Yep.
But
yeah, you get Joe Toussaint, who's a little bit more of a facilitator there instead of Tyler Perry, who's more of a scorer.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. Who do you have at 7 then?
I have Iowa State at 7. This is more to my love for TJ Otzelberger than anything. I think mm-hmm. that dude is a baller. That guy is such a good head coach. Can basically have nothing and make it competitive. So that's what he did in year one. So, or year two, I should say. They also bring in one of the most talented players, which we'll get to later, in Omaha Ballou. That guy is unbelievable. And he's 6'8". He can do pretty much everything. He's going to be a big part of that team. I like Tamin Lipsey. Lipsey is the last name. He was pretty good last year. Showed some signs. But
Keyshawn Gilbert is an underrated transfer too. Like I was really high on him, hoping we could get him. At either of my teams.
Yeah, so this is a team. I mean, they're not super big, just looking at them, but they're going to be competitive because of the head coach.
Yeah.
Yep. Who do you have at 8?
I have TCU at 8.
We have them just flipped. So.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, we're just flipping nonstop. But
yep.
TCU, they brought in some good players. You know, Jameer Nelson Jr. is a good player. Avery Anderson played at Oklahoma State. He showed some. You always wanted him to be more than what he was, though, every time I watched him. Obviously, returning Emmanuel Miller, Chuck O'Bannon, bringing in Uday from Kansas. They're going to have a good team. And what makes them good is their depth, because they have a lot of guys who have tournament experience, played good minutes for them last year. But I just don't think they're going to quite translate as well to being this conference. I think they're going to be one of the teams that kind of gets eaten apart a little bit.
I'm very interested to see what happens with them. I was looking at the Torvik projections, and they have them as the 19th best team, finishing 4th in the conference. So the numbers side really, really likes this TCU team. I have them at 7, so I'm a little bit less high on them. But that them being so high on the numbers strictly rankings. Has me kind of interested. And then, we had Iowa State at 8. I think Iowa State might have the third best defense in the conference this year. Their defense should be really, really, really solid. Offense, that's a piece that they have struggled with over the last couple of years. So that'll be kind of where their downfall is. But, like we said, I like both these teams still a lot. And TCU is definitely one that I'm watching a lot just because the numbers have them so much higher. Like a lot of the guys they brought through, pretty much their entire bench outside of their three guards, no one is below 6'5" on their team. So they should have a lot of size as well, which
Jameer Nelson Jr. I'm a big Magic fan, so obviously going to be watching him a lot. Yeah, but him and Emmanuel Miller together should be really fun. Really fun.
Yeah.
All right. I guess 9. Who's up?
You got it, Steven. You got 9.
I have West Virginia at 9 because I'm just looking at this team and looking at the talent that they were. Jesse Edwards, Kirk Rissa, Raekwon Battle, Akakakak. I mean, they're talented.
They have
a bunch of pieces that Eilert needs to put together, and we'll see if he's worth it or if he's up for the challenge. But I have them a little lower than this group. I think this is kind of where the tiers kind of, tally off a little bit.
Definitely.
And so I think they can be really competitive because of their talent, but it's just so unknown right now with the head coach and how this team's actually going to play together.
They also have one of the starting five guys whose names are so nice they doubled up. Aycock from Georgetown. We have them a little bit lower. We have them at 12, I think. A lot of it is just worrying about how it kind of comes together. I'm really interested to see how Noah Farrakhan does as well, coming over from Eastern Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he was kind of a big time recruit coming from IMG, just interested to see how he does. Eastern Michigan, that's where he went, right?
I think so.
That sounded wrong as I said it.
Who is it you're talking about?
Noah Farrakhan?
Yeah, Eastern Michigan.
Okay, cool. I mean, they'll probably have, what, one returning guy on in their starting five. The rest will be transfers. So,
yep.
Interesting how they put it together. We had OK State at 9. Just looking at them, I didn't realize Mike Boynton was in his 7th year.
Been there for forever, it feels like.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Moving Musa Cisse, that hurts.
It's surprising that Mike Boynton is still there, to be honest. I love the guy. I have Oklahoma State 2nd to last because I am not a Boynton believer. I think he's a great dude. I just think he's not a good head coach. He's had so much talent go through Oklahoma State and done hardly anything with it. It took them having Cade Cunningham to make the NCAA tournament, and then they lost in the first round. So
This is strictly because they have a guy. Wait, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I'm not a Boynton guy, so I'm real low on Oklahoma State.
Connor, this might have to be our team this year because they brought in a freshman named Connor Dow. So I feel like that we have to stick in this team because it's spelled wrong in both cases. It's C-O-N-N-O-R and is D-O-W, but I feel like they might have to be our team. No, they I don't know, it's funny on a team that or in a league that is seemingly getting older rather than younger. They have a ton of freshmen that'll come in. Probably have two that will start for them. Well, Isaiah Miranda, I guess, is a redshirt freshman. But, yeah, I don't know. Kind of looking at this now, we probably have them a little too high.
A little bit, yeah.
yeah. Their defense should be really good, though, again, which I think was kind of why I upped them. But, yeah, we had them at 9. Then we had Cincinnati at 10. Let me pull up. I have too many tabs, like always. Yeah, lose Landers Nolly, but bring in CJ Frederick, who, if he can stay healthy, should be a shooter.
Should he be? I don't know.
He should, theoretically.
Third conference is the best, right?
Exactly. no, Dede Thomas is one of the best junior college transfers. They should be a team that's really, really old. Also, got to shout out my boy Odie Oguama from Wake Forest, who has now been there a couple of years, but big fan of his game. They will be a team that is long and defensive minded. So,
yeah,
that's who we had at 10.
I also had Cincy at 10. Nice. Kind of just who ended up being there. I don't know much about Cincinnati, I'm going to be honest with you, but I did notice they have a guy named Jizzle James on their team, and that just you got to put them a little higher because of that.
All name team.
All names. Yes.
And Dede Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two great names.
They got some names on here. But yeah, and I had them at 10, and then I had Oklahoma at 11. They just, it's been a very disappointing kind of start for Porter Mosier. I thought he was going to be better.
Yeah, same here.
They lost some guys, a lot of unknown names coming in when I'm just looking at this roster. I will say I do like Milo Suzon. I think he played very, very well for them last year, and especially in the Texas Tech games. But yeah, I have them here. They could be lower though. I'm not super high on Oklahoma. They have no sort of home court advantage at all. That school does not care about basketball. So we'll see. I'm pretty low on them though.
Yeah, we had them at 13 actually. So same spot you had. Okay, State. Yeah. Just a. Other than Uzon and I guess Javion McCollum, I really worry about their shooting as well. They'll need one of their grad transfers to really come in and be a shooter. Yeah, like you said, just kind of a similar thing. Just a lot of unknown names that could click, but we weren't betting on them to do that.
No,
for sure. For sure.
At 11, we had BYU, actually, the sneaky team with Mark Pope. Weirdly, I feel like we've been talking a ton about, like, oh, this team lost 4 guys and brought in 6 to replace them. Really only lost 2 main guys, 2 double-digit scorers, and brought in 2 transfers and a freshman to replace them. They're essentially the same team they had last year.
Yeah.
Which So this is just kind of betting on, I think their ceiling is probably pretty limited, but I think their floor is pretty solid just because they have so much continuity.
They had a hot start to the season last year, too. They end up finishing fifth in WCC, but like you look at the top two teams in WCC, it was Gonzaga and what's the other one? I'm blanking. Who was the other team?
St. Mary's.
Yeah, St. Mary's, which like both were great like tournament teams. Like they were good teams. So like finishing fifth in WCC, you know, like it's like one of those, like it's that meme where like the girl that's drinking the kombucha, it's like, and then she's like, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's an opposite. Yeah. Like, it's like bad at first, but you're like, oh, wait, they actually have some decent teams in WCC. So,
yeah. I had BYU at 12. They have a talented front court. I'll give them that. I mean, Khalifa and Troy are solid there in their front court, but. They're gonna struggle in this new conference. Going up a level, it's, you're not just playing Gonzaga and St. Mary's; you're playing 8 to 9 great teams.
Yeah,
you know, consistently. So they're gonna have a tough first year, I think.
Definitely. And then you had OK State at 13. We've already kind of talked about them. We've talked about Oklahoma, who we had at 13. We had West Virginia at 12. So then we both have UCF last. Screw you guys. Shamari Allen and DeMar Langford are actually going to be really good for them. Omar Payne is a sneaky good transfer. No, I'm just kidding. There is some talent on this UCF team, but I am not sold at Dawkins as a coach. Just like I've never been a huge fan. You had Taco Fall, and like he fumbled the bag with Taco Fall. So,
the ref fumbled the bag with Taco Fall. That was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was terrible. But also with the way he used Taylor Hendricks, like there was a lot left to be desired with the way he used Taylor Hendricks there. So I'm just not a huge Johnny Dawkins fan there, but it is what it is. So. Let's move on to our first team draft as we keep these things rolling so we don't take up the rest of your afternoon. So here we go. Steven, who's your first team, first pick on the first team for the all Big 12 conference team?
Just like I hate having Kansas at my first, I hate having Hunter Dickinson as first team all Big 12. I hate it. He's good. He's a good basketball player.
Unfortunately.
And he's huge, and he's going to be first team.
Yeah. Dal, who do you got with your first pick? Or who do we have, I should say?
He doesn't want to do it. You can see it in his face.
Do the thing.
What do you think the thing is?
The thing is the best point guard that's been in the in the last 3 years.
if Hunter Dickinson is I feel like he could be Darth Vader because Darth Vader is like hulking big dude.
Yeah.
Then Dwan Harris is actually Emperor Palpatine, like pulling all the strings, doing all the stuff behind the scenes. And he's the best guard in this conference. So sadly, I agree. We'll go with him.
Max Asmus.
You want to go him second?
No, he should have been first. What are you doing? What are you talking about?
I mean, we can go. We're snaking, so we can go both of them.
I mean, I wouldn't go with DeJuan Harris as my second pick, but that's just me. I'll pick Ace Smith. You pick DeJuan Harris. There you go.
Okay.
There you go. So yeah, we'll have DeJuan Harris as our first pick, which is crazy. And then
you're putting it in the wrong thing.
Oh yeah. All right. Who's your second pick, Steven?
My second pick, again, I hate this. I don't know why I do this to myself. I'm picking Dylan Disu from Texas as my second pick because he is a really good basketball player, and he's got another year. He is coming off an injury. We'll see how he plays early on in the season. But, no, he's a center point for that team. So, yeah, I'll go with the two evils of Hunter Dickinson and Dylan Disu with my two.
All right, then who's your third pick?
I'll save the guards. I'll go with Emmanuel Miller from TCU. I really like his game. He's tough. He's a little undersized for kind of the position that he plays, but he's just effective. Effective defender, great rebounder for his size. I really like Emmanuel Miller from TCU. I think he'll be a first-team All-Big 12-er.
Yeah. All right, Dale, who we got?
I went first earlier, so you can go first on this one for since you hated my pick.
We need a center. We don't have a center yet. Let's go Juwan Roberts from Houston. I feel like that didn't warrant any. That should have warranted some sort of reaction. I get a head nod from Steven.
That works.
We'll see. We'll see.
Even if it was a spicy pick, it's still a pick.
I got shit on for being too redundant on positions in the last draft. So now I'm nervous.
Do it again. Do it again. Lean into it. It's a guard league, baby.
Do we go LJ Cryer?
Yes, that's who I wanted.
Okay, good. I'm nervous.
Knockdown shooter. That's a good pick.
Exactly. All right, who's your fourth and fifth pick, Steven?
All right, I finished it off with my guards. I'm going to go with Tyler Perry and Jamal Shedd, the other guy from Houston, here at my guard positions. I just think Perry, if he's the dude that he was last year and that we saw in the tournament, he's going to be right here at the top of the Big 12 as well. Shedd just knows Houston. I mean, he's been there forever. He just him and Kelvin Sampson are two peas when it comes to the success of this team. So yeah, I'll go with Shedd and Perry to round out my five.
There we go. And who's our last pick, Dal? You make it because I made the first one for it.
Okay, so I'll give you an option. I'll give you two choices. I kind of want to go off the beaten path and go Jesse Edwards at West Virginia or Jalen Bridges at Baylor were the two that I was thinking. Unless you have another option that you would like to pitch to me.
I don't know, man. I feel like the forwards in this league are just kind of mid. I feel like there's just not a lot of really quality forwards like we've seen in the past. Actually, can we go evil again?
don't do it. I know
KJ Adams. I feel like he's gonna be
we're all right. I'm fine with KJ Adams. That's cool.
Who'd you think I was gonna pick?
Oh yeah, I know who. Of course he. Come on, you know who he was talking about.
I thought you were gonna pick my boy K-Mac.
Yeah.
No, because I just don't think he's gonna be an all Big 12 player.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been just like malicious if I just picked him like a non-Big
That would be really mean.
I think KJ Adams is gonna be take that step up for Kansas this year.
We would lose all of our Texas Tech followers.
I think you just take the final pick, Dal. Like between those three,
let's do Jalen Bridges.
Okay.
Let's do Jalen Bridges at Baylor.
I'm good with that.
He kind of came on last year. I mean, a rough start. He was shooting like awful from three to start the year last year, but he came on and ended up being a really good player for them.
What's kind of crazy, we did not really spread this out at all. Like, at all.
We did not.
No. All right. Let's move on then to our season superlatives as we wrap things up. So
I've actually got a jump. So you're in charge of season superlatives, Connor.
Okay. Sounds good. Appreciate you, Dal.
Steven, always good to talk to you.
Absolutely, man.
Peace out.
All right. All right, yeah, we'll do our season superlative. So basically, we'll have player of the year, coach of the year, freshman of the year, transfer of the year, breakout player of the year, what team scares you the most. So that one can be a little confusing. Basically, like, it's a Tuesday night, you have to play this team and you're afraid of them. And then best pro prospect in the Big 12, and then the sleeper team of the year. So one that will outperform their or outkick their coverage. So let's start with player of the year. Who is the Big 12 player of the year for you?
I hate to be a broken record. I hate it. I hate it so much. It's going to be Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah.
The player of the year.
I unfortunately, like, as much as I want to go contrarian, it's just so hard. I mean, the guy is a stat stuffer, and he's going to do that at the biggest stage in college basketball. So,
and now he has all this talent around him to do all the other stuff. I mean, he's got okay, a really
but you're talking about, he has all this talent around it. Like, Michigan had good teams,
they
and
did.
I just
they
think
did. But I don't know if they had Kansas this year. I mean, they got some dudes.
They have so many NBA, like, friggin'. The misuse of Michigan's roster is bothered me to no end, because, like, as good as Hunter Dickinson was in college basketball, like, Jet Howard was so good. Franz Wagner is looking like a top 25 NBA player, like, this offseason. And their usage was so low because they just, like, oh, let's just force feed this 7-foot white dude that can body anybody in the Big 12. Like, that was so unfortunate, but okay. Coach of the year, who do you got?
I will go Kelvin Sampson from Houston, because first year in the league, I think they're going to be ultra competitive, competing for the best team in the league immediately, and I think that's means for coach of the year.
So this is a funny one, and, like, I listen to the Ion College Basketball podcast a lot. Great podcast if you don't listen to it, obviously, but they joke around. They're like, the coach of the year should go to the team that finishes first. But, like, how boring would it be? Yeah. Voter fatigue would be really boring with, you know, Bill Self just getting it every single year. I actually have Grant McCaslin winning it this year. Because you look at where Texas Tech was in last year to where we have them finishing, which we have them finishing, what, I think, fifth or sixth or something like that. The turnaround job that he could do, that we were projecting him to do, that's the stuff that wins you coach of the year. So, so correct. It's not always the best coach in the conference. It's what, you know, it's how they exceed expectations. I think McCaslin can do that this year at Tech. So, you know, we'll see. All right. Freshman of the year. Who do you have?
It's Omaha Blue. And it's far and away. That guy's going to be so good for Iowa State. I'm so high on him. He'll be a one and done, but I think he's your freshman of the year.
That's fair. Trying to think of the freshmen that are coming in. I don't even. This is tough.
Yeah, yeah. It's such an old league now. I mean, it's hard to find a true freshman coming in and being impactful right away.
Yeah, and when we did the Big East episode, I mean, like, there was, like, hardly any freshmen in that league.
Yeah, so. I mean, Jacoby Walter's a good one for Baylor. He's a really
yeah,
good
that's
player.
What I'm probably leaning towards. And, like, Baylor does a good job at getting getting the most out of their freshmen too. So I'll go with Jacoby Walter.
There you go.
All right. Who do you have as your transfer of the year?
I mean, if he's my player of the year, he has to be my transfer of the year, right? Yeah. But I'm not gonna say it to kind of, you know, provide a little extra here. LJ Cryer is gonna be really good for Houston. He's got that championship, you know, expertise. He's an ace shooter when he needs to be. You could put a lot of guys here. You really could. You could put any of the Texas Tech guys. You could put Max Asemus. You could put, you know, Jameer Nelson. There's a lot of impact transfers, but I'll go to kind of keep it spicy. I'll go with LJ Cryer.
That's fair. I actually have Max Asemus as my transfer of the year, and, like, I could almost swap it if I wanted to for player of the year and then put Hunter Dickinson as my transfer of the year. That's just how close I think that race would go between those two. So yeah. All right. Breakout player of the year. Who you got?
I will go Milos Uzan from OU. There's not a lot of other players on that team, and I think he's going to take that next step. He was really good last year. He showed a lot of good stuff for being so young, and I have him as kind of my breakout.
Gotcha. Dal put it in. It's Arsenault. He's going to be pretty good for them. So
yeah,
not too worried about that pick. I think Dal had that pretty much locked in. He had it in all caps too, so, you know, he's really excited about that. All right, what team scares you the most? So think about it. Tuesday night at, like, 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. Eastern. You know, those late sleepy games. Maybe you're on the road. You know, your team's, you know, so for you, Texas Tech, like, for me, it's just whoever. Or UCF, obviously every team scares me if I'm UCF, but but Tuesday night, sleepy game on the road. What team scares you the most in that matchup?
You could pick 12 teams here.
Yeah.
What scares you the most? I mean, I won't say the top dogs because, I mean, naturally they scare you.
Well, yeah, you're going to be getting up for those, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say, I'd probably say West Virginia this year just because of the talent. Like I said, on that team, the head coach is still a big question mark for them. But yeah, I always hate going to Morgantown and playing that game. It is It's a nightmare going over there. So yeah, I'll go West Virginia with Iowa State being a close second.
Gotcha. I have, as funny as it sounds, I have Oklahoma.
Okay.
And reason being is because I was talking with one of my football players recently, like with basketball, especially in college basketball, you don't like talent obviously will win you way more games, but you take a hard coach team that knows their role, like each player knows their exact role, and it becomes about scheme. And as bad as a recruiter Porter Moser has been, he's a really good game schemer, and it shows when he was at Loyola Chicago and beat that Alabama team. You know, like that was crazy. So I think Oklahoma would be one of those, like they're gonna get up. Oklahoma, like especially in Norman, they're gonna get up for, like, you know, like Texas Tech comes into town. I feel like that's a game that they all, like Texas Tech always loses somehow. Just because, just like, it's a sleepy Tuesday night at 9 p.m. or whatever, and you're just like, crap, I don't want to play this team, and that team comes out and defends really hard. Even if they suck at scoring, they're still gonna defend really hard, and that's a good thing about Porter Moser teams. So yeah. All right, who's your best pro prospect?
It's got to be one of the freshmen. I mean, this conference as a whole is unbelievable for college basketball. I mean, just so good, so dominant, so old. But unfortunately, when it comes with that, you don't have a lot of great pro prospects. And it's not due to the lack of talent. It's mostly due to play style and, you know, just having older guys. These NBA teams aren't really wanting a 23-year-old that's been in college basketball for 6 years. So
yeah.
I'm gonna also say Omaha Ballou or Jacoby Walter from Baylor. I think those guys are probably both one and dones, and they have the most opportunity to make it in the NBA just based on youth and based on talent.
Yeah, we also have Jacoby Walter. That was Dal's pick. I'd say my pick is kind of a sleepy pick, but Chris Johnson from Montverde, or Montverde or whatever you pronounce it.
Yeah,
out of Texas. You know, like I think he's going to be fighting a lot because of who's ahead of him on the depth chart, but like he could easily come in and not even put up that impressive numbers, but just the impact and the way that he's a 6'4" freshman forward. So he's a little undersized, but that means that he's probably shooting it really well.
Yeah.
And I think he probably will defend pretty hard too. So I have Chris Johnson, just because I didn't want to pick the same person for my freshman of the year. What's it called? Dal has Jacoby Walter. So, all right. And then sleeper team of the year. Who is the team that you think is going to be a sleeper and probably outkick their coverage in terms of, like, we have them projected, you know, bottom of the conference and they finish more mid or top tier?
Connor, give me the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Yes, sir.
Being the sleeper team here. Again, we've kind of touched on pretty much everything for this team. There's talent there. And if we get the same kind of coach that we think Grant McCaslin's going to be, and as he's been at every stop ever,
yeah,
he's a winner. He knows how to win.
Yeah.
And he, I think, really hit the transfer portal hard and got the right guys in to lead the winning basketball. So I will go Texas Tech as my sleeper.
That's a fair pick, and I should have expected that. I actually have TCU as my sleeper team just because of the talent they've amassed. A lot of tournament experience on this team, surprisingly. And I think Jamie Dixon's a good coach. I mean, like he gets them up for big time games when they upset Kansas last year and stuff like that. So, that's my sleeper team of the year. So, all right, well, let's wrap things up here. It's been a little longer, I know, than we anticipated, but it's been a fun one. So as we've been departing, Dal is always asked, what are you most excited for the conference this year? So let me ask you, what are you most excited for this conference this year?
How good they are every year Every game is going to be competitive. I mean, maybe besides an Oklahoma State UCF game, but that's, I mean, you're going to see a great team pretty much every night here for the Big 12. It's also interesting. I don't know if how quickly this is going to happen, but if the Gonzaga thing happens, I mean, oh my God, you just added another ace. To this already great conference, and if you get Kansas, Gonzaga, Houston, Baylor, I mean, it's just stupid. Even when Texas and OU leave next year, it's still far and away to me the best basketball conference. So just being able to turn on a Big 12 game and see a good team every night is the most interesting thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to just the depth of this conference now. It was already a deep conference, but adding four more teams makes it a little bit more enticing. I mean, obviously you add a couple bottom feeders in BYU and UCF, but I don't think they're going to drag the conference down. And there's always that debate like, oh, well, they only had 10 teams. Like you have teams finishing, 500 conference play, but those teams that were finishing 500 conference play we're going to beat pretty much like most ACC teams other than like the top three, most SEC teams other than the top three. Like last year, West Virginia was one of the worst teams in the Big 12, and they were actually pretty freaking good outside of the conference. So I think them adding four teams, albeit two of them are going to be mid-tier to top tier Big 12 teams. Even with the bottom tier ones, like I said, they're not going to drag them down. It's just going to make their conference look better. UCF probably will go winless or maybe like two wins on the conference this season. But outside of that, they should be pretty good, especially if they keep any of their contracts with other like American League teams or whatever. So I think it just helps it having more teams and cement that Big 12 is the best basketball conference. And I stand by that still, even adding, a couple bottom feeders to it. So, all right. So is there anything that you want to shout out now? Obviously, if you don't already listen to Talking Tech, guys, go listen to Talking Tech. I still listen. Fantastic pod. I know everything I know about Texas Tech because of it. And fun fact, been playing a lot of NCAA 14 football. And, my wide receiver guy that I made this past go around, I committed to Texas Tech. All right, got a 55-13 win over TCU when TCU was ranked. So yeah, go Red Raiders, right?
We love it. Yeah, football has been very up and down for us this season. So we were expecting a lot more and not to be 3-3, but hey, it seemed we won two in a row. Hopefully, we're on the come up a little bit. The Big 12 is just brutal to watch outside of Texas and OU, unfortunately. So we'll see. There's opportunity to kind of salvage this season and be a good team. But Talking Tech Pod, we're talking a lot of football right now, but basketball coming up real quick. So hopefully doing a deep dive on this year's team and all the new transfers and Grant McCaslin and all that good stuff coming up. But always appreciate coming on the Beers and Buckets Pod, man. You guys are great. Sorry we couldn't bring on a beer here at now 11:45 Central Time. but hey, we're here. It's always a good time here.
It's all good. We'll be that's one of the switches that we made for the Beers and Buckets Pod is that we started like doing beer reviews on our own instead of on the podcast because we've been recording a lot during the day. So just doesn't seem responsible to drink like a 9% ABV beer at 11:45 or whatever it is. So I'm with you. So all right, well, this has been fun. I appreciate you guys listening. Again, go check out Talking Tech Pod. Check them out on Twitter, even if you don't like listening to podcasts. Fantastic Twitter or X profile to follow. And you can check us out on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Beers and Buckets Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you don't already. And if you're watching this, like this video, we appreciate it. And then check out Variety Sports Network for other short shows like this one. We appreciate you guys listening again. And go check out the other conference preview episodes if you can. And this has been The Bottom Line because Connor said so. You guys have a fantastic week.